Live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that everybody in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Look, no one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Another day, another edition of 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson. I'm Nate Hodges. See what you're looking at over there, right?
Well,
as the show starts.
Okay, listen. I mentioned it before the show started.
You did.
There are... Houston's in the market for a boat.
Is that a Craigslist post? Oh, I see. Yeah.
It is.
Sorry, it just kind of looked weird from this angle.
Houston's in the market for a boat, okay? A nice bass fishing boat. I've had my eye on a couple that I've maybe wanted to, you know, kick the tires on. And unfortunately, last night, one of the ones I was most interested in sold.
Oh, no.
It is no longer there. So now I'm having to re-chart my entire... replot my entire chart and figure out the best path to having a bass boat rig. I've thought about, you know, trying to maybe tie one into some type of radio sponsorship. We might need to talk about this after the show.
You're having to reshuffle your recruiting board, basically.
Yeah,
you're having
yeah.
to say,
yeah.
you know, here's...
Yeah, I just had a boat commit to somebody that I probably
yeah.
didn't like him.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really want the kid. I hadn't even really called him yet. But I liked his film. He had good mm-hmm. film.
Good.
I should have called it. Should have jumped on it.
Good picks.
Should have jumped on it. But there's plenty of options out there. There's a couple of really good ones I got my eye on. Just waiting to see the transcript, I guess is how you'd say it.
Yeah.
Waiting to get a little bit more information. But if anyone out there has any idea of how to... make a boat deal work, I'm all ears.
You could sponsor Houston's entire fishing operation.
Think about that. You could sponsor an addict's addiction. That's pretty fantastic, especially when it's bass fishing.
Yeah. It's not even harmful.
I could call Sheila a bunch. Say, hey, hey, hey. I know you guys finance. What do you think?
You should.
You think they lease? Anyone leases a bass
People
boat?
Lease boats? I don't know. You're the
You think
boat
they lease
guy.
Them? Like, I've got a tournament coming up in a month and a half. I need a nice bass boat. I need it for like 2 weeks.
Oh, that's it?
I need it to practice. I need it to take out and get to learn it here. I need to practice with it once on the lake in Chattanooga and then once back again for the tournament.
Hmm.
So that's, I'm sorry to have the ads up. I was looking. This is boat selling season though. This is when people sell way high.
Oh, yeah.
This is the bad time
yeah.
to buy.
Seller's market.
Yeah, yeah. This is buyer's market come fall time when everyone wants to go get in the tree stand or they want to go to football games or, you know, basketball games and I don't have time to fish anymore. That's when I need to buy. That said, tournament's in a month and a half, so I got to figure something out. So if anyone out there has any ideas, I'm all ears.
There you go.
All ears.
At Val Rumor Mill. Jump in the DMs.
Please. Please God. I thought I had a plan, and a great buddy of mine, he took his boat to Texas. It's very sad.
Oh.
He said, yeah, I would have let you use it, but I have the boat in Texas. I was very sad. So now I'm putting out. I'm whining on the air is what I'm doing.
Yes, you are.
I'm whining about it.
You are.
Yeah. It's fine. No big deal. We'll find something. We'll work together. That said, let's close the door on finding Crescent Boat. Hashtag finding Crescent Boat. Let's not worry about it, but you can tweet me about it at Ballroomer Mill. And let's talk about something else, unless someone calls in and has a boat that they want to offer me.
Davey, make sure you keep an eye on the phones.
Please screen all calls.
Well, we talked a lot of spring practice yesterday. Of course, Tennessee practices Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday right now, so they'll hit the practice field again.
Not leading with baseball, today. It's opening day.
It is opening day of baseball.
Thus concludes our opening day baseball talk.
So, back to recruiting.
Go put $200 on the Braves to win the World Series.
Just and leave it. Set it and forget it. Do we need to make fun of the fact that we're not going to talk baseball like all year?
You know, the only day I remember in my head talking baseball with you was the day when the two guys got in the big, big brawl.
Oh, yeah.
At second base.
Joey Batts and was that the guy for the Angels? Yeah, that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. That was great for baseball. But today's opening day, it's a really big deal. We did talk about Mookie Betts for like a split second yesterday in that hilarious on-field interview where the ball gets hit over his head and he says, "I ain't getting this one, boys," to the guys in the booth. Mm-hmm. That was a really funny moment for baseball. Probably the best baseball moment of the season.
They should mic up all the players all the time. You could have – they could put it on the – maybe that's how we talk baseball today. How do you fix baseball?
I feel like that's our baseball conversation every year.
Every time.
Baseball, I guess it, you know, I love going to Braves games, love going to Smokies games. When I lived in Nashville, I loved going to Sounds games. That said, baseball truly is a, I'll just check the box score later type of thing. Like basketball, you can sit down in an hour and 45 minutes, watch a really good game. Baseball, even the bad games take 4 hours. It's a time thing. But that's part of it. Like, that's the whole deal. Like, that's the thing. You go to the park. You have your time. Baseball is a game for the people at the game. Because if you're willing to give up 4 hours, yeah, you can go have fun. So, I don't know. I don't know if it needs to be fixed. I'm just personally not going to be very interested in it. It is not a game of high intrigue for me. I appreciate the thinking man's game. I love the strategy aspect. I agree that they are fantastic athletes. Just not my cup of tea. That's all.
I mean, the college baseball experience for me is better than the.
Oh yeah, that's a good point too. Because now, hey, if Vitello gets some things going the right way, I'm gonna be over there at Lindsey Nelson. We talked about that yesterday briefly. I'm gonna be over there watching some Vols.
Yeah, I mean they got the pitch clock, the clock in between innings. Like they keep it moving. They're trying to have it. You know, they're trying to get it closer to 2 hours instead of four. To me, yeah, it's hard to watch it on TV anymore. I don't know. I used to. Now there's just so many other options. I could be on Netflix and
yeah.
It's gotten bad, Houston. I'll go like 20 minutes into a movie now on Netflix and be like, yeah, I'm not feeling this. Just switch out. I'll just bail.
I watched a really great documentary last night. Have you seen Icarus?
Yes.
Fantastic. I think I've heard you mention it before.
Yeah.
It was there. I said I'm going to watch it about the Russian doping scandal for the Olympics and oh my gosh, fantastic. But you're right. We're so spoiled.
I know.
We're just so spoiled. All right, I could watch baseball of a team I kind of care about or a documentary on how fast food might kill me. Yeah, I'll watch the fast food documentary.
And if I don't like it, I'll switch to the Dirty Money one. And if I don't like I'll switch to the drug one. And
no,
if I don't like that,
I'm with you.
Watch a movie that I've seen years ago that I don't really remember that much,
but
I know I love it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we talked about this. There was a recent study that came out that said the average American attention span has now shrunk from 12 seconds to 8, which is
seconds?
Less. Yeah, seconds. Attention span, 12 seconds to 8 seconds. It is now, the average American attention span is now shorter than that of the common goldfish. So.
Nice.
Things like baseball that require a lot of attention for an extended period of time, not exactly moving the right way, according to the American, you know, ability to focus. I mean,
did you guys hear that the Giants want 2 first-round picks for Odell Beckham Jr.?
Case in point. See what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't even realize we were talking about the attention band. Proved it.
Well, you know, in education, they used to say,
squirrel.
Like, you know, you can't make kids like work on one thing more than, you know, like you can't lecture about, you shouldn't lecture about something for more than like 12 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like if you know, you get to 12 minutes and you've been lecturing, like then let them try it. Like just
right,
let them
right.
start doing it.
Yeah.
Whatever
break
it
up
is.
With examples. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
No, it's strange. And I think that part of all of that, and I don't know, I haven't looked at the numbers. Like, I mean, obviously the Cubs World Series 2 years ago was fantastic. I did not even watch the World Series last year. I kept up with it. But I guess now in baseball, there almost has to be a secondary story to the championship for me to really be interested. The Cubs being in it, that was enough for me to watch. I want to say I watched, it went six games or seven?
Seven. I only know that because Clay Travis on the drive-in said, no one's really paid any attention to baseball since game seven last year.
It was 2 years ago.
What?
The Cubs won 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's what's funny. He probably said last year, completely skipping over actual last year's World Series.
Wait, he wasn't talking about, he was just talking about last year's World Series.
Oh, that wasn't the Cubs.
Not the Cubs.
I was talking about the Cubs.
Oh.
Did you forget that the Cubs was 2 years ago?
No, I was about to admit that I can't remember who won the World Series last year.
Astros.
No. I honestly have no idea.
You only know that because it's your name.
I literally only know that because I heard it driving in today.
Okay.
But yeah, it was
okay,
Houston,
you were talking
BLA.
About the Cubs. He was talking about just last year.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe the Cubs
won in six.
Maybe it was only six. Okay. I mean, I think I watched all of those games. I may have missed some of one. But like that to me was a good, that's as much of a World Series as I'll ever watch, unless the Braves were to make it, but that's only for nostalgia. I mean, I'm a Braves fan. I root for the Braves. I also will probably only watch 10 to 15 Braves games a year. And those are kind of in and out just on the TV type games while I'm doing something else. But it's opening day. A lot of people are very excited about opening day. My question is, how excited about opening day do people really get? That's going to be my sweet peas poll here in a minute whenever I get around to posting it. I want to know if people, even in this market specifically, and kind of our audience, really even likes or enjoys baseball that much. I know we have some, especially on the kind of on the Braves side of things, but I wonder if as a whole our audience is like gung-ho today for the start of Major League Baseball. I think I saw where the Astros and Dodgers are again the favorites to get to and win the World Series between like 4-1 and 5-1, and then the Yankees I think are right in there at like plus 650. So there's your that's all I got. That's literally all I know about baseball right now.
That's it, huh?
That's it. That's all I got. That's it.
You could just
all I got.
Maybe
I'm out.
Maybe you should just adopt the Astros as your AL team.
I used to have an Astros hat.
There you go.
Because it said Houston.
Has your name on it.
I didn't want to forget it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not everyone can do that.
Yeah.
So there you go. They're number one in ESPN's power ranking.
Who's that?
So there you go. You.
Yeah.
The Houston Astros.
The guy find that hat.
Yeah. Dodgers are two.
I loved them for years.
So
big Astros guy.
Meh.
I was kidding. I was in college. Flat bill hats were a thing. I'm not proud of it. I think I threw that hat away. It was expensive.
Really?
It was a new era. It was a real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from you. Do you care about baseball? If you're a big sports fan, and then do you care about opening day? Are there big baseball fans who are like, yeah, opening day, it's great that it started, but, I mean, There's no way it's like, you know, week one of college football.
Right? I mean, am I crazy? Are there people that get that? I mean, I know how excited I get for opening weekend of college football. You know, you get like the couple of Thursday games, and then Saturday is just wake up, you know, watch game day, and then just a schedule full of now with this kind of scheduling changes over the years, you get great games on the opening weekend. You get a great game, like an elite level game, Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday night now. That's the way it's done. Baseball?
With football, though, you get at minimum of your team 12 games a season.
Yeah.
No, versus 182.
And that's another like big thing. Like every game matters. Like if you miss the opening day game of your favorite team and they lose, whatever. It's like doesn't matter. If you miss the opening day game for your favorite football team and they lose, even if it's in the NFL, you're like, oh, because every loss matters a little bit more in football. So I don't know. That's just me. We literally don't have to talk about baseball anymore. I just I wanted to at least hat tip the fact that today is opening day. A lot of people are interested. I am just not very interested.
I can't even I what's hard for me is I can't even really put my finger on why. Because it used to not for me personally, it used to not be a thing. Like there's a lot of stuff I throw on the TV and like will do others. Like why don't I enjoy putting a baseball game on in the background and doing others? Like it's just like why is it has it because I don't think it's just that younger people don't do baseball. I think even people my age and older have quit baseball. If that makes
I don't know.
I'm weird. I don't know.
I'd be interested to see kind of the attendance numbers for baseball over the last 10 years and then ratings over the last 10 years, generally speaking, for baseball. I know they've added a lot of things that have made the game easier to watch on TV. Like the fact that you can watch it now and they have the K-Zone up all the time so you can see almost immediately if a pitch is a ball or a strike. Like that's really cool. All the advanced analytics they've done in baseball to kind of essentially tell you, you know, if a pitch is here, this guy's, you know, he's going to knock it. I mean, it's they've done a lot of great things, you know, kind of the flight track with the ball, all that stuff. That said, it's just still not my cup of tea. Although I will say, and maybe this is a thing because I'm an old school Braves fan. When John Smoltz was in the booth for the World Series, and he was just, I mean, that was dramatic. He's telling you what's happening in the pitcher's brain, what the batter's thinking, what he would throw as a pitcher, and then he was getting it right. I mean, it was just, I don't know, like that to me was high level drama. But you got to wait so long to get to that point. You know, you got to get to like a game 6 or 7 in the playoffs for that to kind of, you know, solidify as a moment that matters. Because that kind of stuff in the regular season, yeah, it's interesting if it's your team. Other than that, it's really not that great.
Well, Tennessee football hits the practice field again this afternoon. We talked, we talked kind of the makeup of this football team, and I don't know if it's just that there's more coverage of recruiting or if Jeremy Pruitt is doing some things differently, but it seems like to me that there's been a lot more written about, a lot more talked about guys that he is after, guys that are being offered, guys that are that the recruiting services are able to get quotes from about possibly visiting Tennessee, having them on the radar, that they got an offer, love that they got it or didn't, or if they're their first offer from the SEC, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, we're not going to go through like each one of those players and stuff, but I do want to kind of jump into that conversation about recruiting. Houston, Casey Clawson had some interesting takes on that as well that I know you want to get into. And then, I mean, we had a listener yesterday send us the breakdown of Tennessee's current roster with attrition based on their recruiting profiles from coming out of high school. And I think that it's an interesting look. I don't know that it says a lot unless you were to compare this type of profile with every team in the SEC. But it's still interesting to kind of look at recruiting, look at this football team, because yesterday a lot of people weighed in on, is this team more or less talented than the team Butch Jones started with in his first year at Tennessee? And I think it'll shape expectations as we move into 2018 football. We'll dive into that next. Three and Outs driven by Toyota Knoxville. I-40 Level Road exit right there on Parkside Drive. And as you guys know, I mean, they've got the great spring sales, March Madness deals going on right now. But it only goes through April 2nd. So check your calendar. That is just through this weekend. You got to get to Toyota Knoxville, I-40 Level Road exit, Parkside Drive, up to $5,000 off select vehicles, 0% financing on others as well. And of course, they've got all the great warranties for you at Toyota Knoxville, even above and beyond the straightforward ones from corporate Toyota. So check them out, toyotaknoxville.com. You can ask questions about different vehicles right there from the comfort of your own home screen, wherever you are. And then when you're ready to get to the dealership, should be a great time to get out this weekend and check out new and pre-owned vehicles at Toyota Knoxville, I-40 Lovell Road exit right there on Parkside Drive.
So you can air drum, but I can't. Huh?
That, and I really drum, so like I, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Yeah,
I'm hurt.
No,
hurt,
I mean, it,
hurt my feelings.
No, you can air drum. I'm just gonna laugh when it looks funny.
Okay. I mean, I hit the snare drum at the right time, at least.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and check the tape.
Check the tape.
Just wasn't ready for it. That's all. Sorry.
Okay.
Caught me off guard with your air drumming. Don't worry about it. Just move on. Just, you know, snap and clear.
Okay. Oh, don't. No, no. No. Can we? We can't say that anymore.
Yeah, we can. That's not. He didn't make that up.
I use it in my daily vernacular.
Thank you. You should.
You? Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Next up.
Tennessee football.
Next up.
Who sent us this? It was Will Oakley. Yesterday, we're talking about attrition with Tennessee's football team. And see, my thinking is there's some level of attrition with every college football team. Like from when they sign their class. For example, who's lighting it up right now? Georgia, right? Georgia's the one that's just crushing it in recruiting. There's going to be some look, though, in 2 years from now on their football team with, like, all the five stars that they got during the early signing period, the first one ever, and then this last one we had in February. There's going to be some group of kids that either, like, you know, quit football together, got kicked out of school, underperformed, transferred, you know, are just kind of get nicked up and injured every year, so they're never that good. I mean, there's always going to be some type of attrition. And I don't know that these numbers kind of show the whole picture because we don't have a baseline on what's like average attrition. You'd have to do that for, I mean, the research would be
exhaustive.
A mountain. But Will Oakley did send us the numbers for this year's Tennessee team on who's still here. So, like, for example, from the 2014 class, you got two players, Todd Kelly Jr. and Dylan Bates.
Which, I mean, two redshirt seniors, that's pretty significant, right? I mean, normally I feel like you'd have, what, like six, seven? Like, I'd love to go see how many redshirt seniors Alabama has on their program. Now, that said, because neither of those guys redshirted. They both got a medical redshirt, to my knowledge, if I'm not mistaken. So, sheesh.
Yeah, and, you know, Will's put their, not just their star value down, but their actual, like, number ranking. Like, you know, Todd Kelly, 0.9696, Dylan Bates, 0.9554, average of that class, 0.9625. So, you know, they were both four stars. That class averages a four star, but it's only two players. The 2015 class, currently on the roster, 1 5-star, 7 4-stars, 2 3-stars, and 1 2-star. Their average number, 0.9084. Here are some of those players. And actually, these are in order, so it's pretty nice. Kyle Phillips. That's one of those ones where you kind of, like, you have to almost look at attrition and then under, like, have they played up to their potential, too. Kyle Phillips, Shy Tuttle, Drew Richmond, Darren Kirkland Jr., Juwan Jennings, Corte Sapp, Micah Abernathy, Darrell Taylor, Austin Smith, Chance Hall, Riley Lovingood. Then most of this team is actually going to be made up of guys in the next, you know, the next three.
Yeah, I mean, we're the youngest football team in America.
Think so?
No, I'm just
you just thought you'd throw another butchism in there.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm appreciative for this info. It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't really do much for us until we can compare it to other schools and other teams. I mean, and it's not unique at all that most of your team is made up of freshmen and sophomores. Even though Butch Jones tried to say that every year that it was crazy how young we were, the reality is most rosters are made up of younger players because you've had less attrition. You've had less injuries at that point. So that just makes sense. Like, of course, the entire class that Jeremy Pruitt just signed is going to be counted here because none of them have left yet.
Well, here's the one big takeaway from this, then we can get to the Clausen quotes that you have there. When you look at 2017, there's one five-star in that class still on the roster. It's Trey Smith. Like, hopefully he comes back, and hopefully he's 100%. But, you know, when you look back at 2015, I mean, Kyle Phillips is your five-star. There's no five-stars in 2016. You know, Nigel Warrior's your best player. Jarrett Garantano's second. And then you got Kongbo and Bird, who may or may not be any good as your, like, third and fourth best mm-hmm. players. You go to 2017, your one five-star is not at spring practice. There's only four four-stars in that entire class, and there's 22 three-stars. Then you go to 2018, which is the class that Jeremy Pruitt, like, just brought in, mm-hmm. and there's 8 four-stars, 12 three-stars. I look at this roster, and I see Arkansas, Missouri, South Carolina. Like, I don't see Tennessee, Florida, Georgia.
Yeah, and, like, that's a good point because I guess when we look, you know, people say, but look at the four-star talent on this roster. The reality is you haven't seen anything from them that really says, yeah, these guys are four-star guys.
And there's no
even the five-star guys.
And you're going to be competing with Georgia, who's yeah. has stud five-star
now,
guys.
Now, granted, none of them have really proven it yet, but I don't think Georgia's going to go over, right? And some of those guys they signed last year and 2 years ago are now going to be ready to contribute in a big way for them. Listen, I mean, I get it, and it's tough, right? Like, it's really tough when the signing class comes in to look at a five-star and not get excited, right? It's tough to look at a class with 12 four-stars or 16 four-stars and not get excited. The reality is, though, you can't truly judge a recruiting class until 3, 4, maybe even 5 years later.
Tennessee only has 23 four-star players on this roster that aren't true freshmen.
Yeah, like I buy that. And I would say if you listed the names, people would probably, every other one, think, oh, that guy's not really a four-star type player. Like Kyle Phillips is he's fantastic athlete, good player, kind of, has flashed. I don't think many would say, yeah, he has shown five-star quality play on the field. Shai Tuttle has, when he's been healthy. Problem is, that poor kid cannot stay healthy. Kind of like Darren Kirkland. Yeah, Darren Kirkland, when he's healthy, easily a four-star, maybe a five-star type linebacker. The problem is you had Darren Kirkland on the field for like 3 games a year. So it's a bunch of things. It's injuries, it's attrition, and it's player development. All of these things combined with what I would say is very, and this is what I was getting at earlier, like the ranking looked good, the stars were right. The reality is, though, that a lot of these players probably did not deserve the ranking that they got. There's a lot of, in my opinion, hollow stars on this roster that were recruited by Butch Jones, which, again, as we've said, kind of fits with what he did here. Looks good on the surface, plays well in the media, looks good on paper, but without the development and without like a real eye for talent, a lot of those guys get here and they're just kind of, eh. You know, I mean, I remember when they signed Von Pearson. I think Von Pearson was an okay college player. Another guy who, if he doesn't hurt his ankle against Arkansas State, I think it was, we might have a different outlook on what Von Pearson was. People said that's the next CP. Von Pearson was not Cordero Patterson. He was smaller. He was slower. Like, that's kind of what happened here. I think it's very safe to say now every single one of Butch Jones's signing classes, except maybe the first one, was severely overinflated for whatever reason. I don't know if that's the services listening too much to Butch Jones when he would call and say, this guy's really good, make him a four-star. I don't know if Butch Jones only sought out the guys who had four-star ratings. We've mentioned this. A lot of guys they got were coming off of an injury when they got here. Khalil McKenzie missed his entire senior season to injury and suspension for transferring, which was weird, but he was also injured. Jalen Hurd missed his entire senior season due to a shoulder injury. And you go down the list, and almost all of the high-rated guys, if you look, had some type of somewhat significant injury their senior year or their junior year. Quentin Dormady had shoulder surgery as a junior, missed his junior year. So is that why you were able to get him? Were other schools kind of backing off, but we went after the four-star ranking because it looked good? I have a lot of questions about kind of the meat on the bones of all of these recruiting classes. I'm thankful that they're all at Tennessee. This isn't a look at these kids, they're all not talented. I just wonder about the tactics used to kind of inflate the classes over the last couple of years under Butch Jones. And then what happens now with Jeremy Pruitt? You know, I think you could almost see the opposite. Because Jeremy Pruitt doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to go and say, he's got five stars, but man, he's really about a three-star talent. Let's just take him to help the class ranking. I don't think Jeremy Pruitt gives a damn about that. I think if he goes and signs a three-star, it's because he really likes that guy. If he goes and gets a JUCO corner, I think it's going to be because he really likes that guy. But it's also really early. I just, based on where he's been and how they've recruited there, not a lot of play for the camera recruiting at Florida State, at Georgia, and at Alabama in recent years. It's usually, yeah, these guys are really good, and even our three stars come in and make an impact because they were undervalued.
I mean, when you look at who's going to make this team either good, bad, or ugly, is, you know, a handful of your veteran leaders from the 2015 class. I mean, those guys are like Shai Tuttle, Darren Kirkland Jr., Juwan Jennings, Micah Abernathy, you know, Darrell Taylor. I mean, obviously, those are players that are going to have to play really well for this team to do anything this year. And then the 2016 class has those players I mentioned earlier. You know, that's the Nigel Warrior, Garantano, Kongbo, Bird, Callaway, Osborne, Batuli. I mean, there's 10 four-stars in that class, but, like, one of them's Carlin Fields and me. He's not even playing the position he was recruited for. Because when you look at the 2017 class, like, it doesn't profile as big boy football at all. The average star rating of the 2017 class that's still left here, 3-star. Like, 2017 is a 3-star class.
Yeah. No, I buy that. I really do.
I mean, once you get past Trey Smith and Ty Chandler,
Start reading off some of those names, if you don't mind.
Okay. Trey Smith, Ty Chandler, Malik Gray, Eric Crosby, Will Ignat, Jordan Murphy, Cheyenne LaBruza, Latrell Bumpus, Matthew Butler, Kevon Bennett, Terrell Bailey, Theo Jackson, Solon Page III, Shannon Reed, Riley Locklear. It just goes on. I mean, every third name, people, I'm sure, like, I haven't even heard of, or I've heard of all of them, but I haven't, you know.
Yeah.
I don't, there's 22 3-stars. 4 4-stars and Trey Smith, and like that's gonna be the core of your team after this year, or should I should let me put it this way, that should be the core of your team after this season's over. But I, you know, obviously I think you'll see Pruitt over recruit is the term we use for a lot of those guys. I mean the
golly
truth,
like. I know last year we were really frustrated, or 2 years ago after like the 2016 season ended in such a disappointment in Champions of Life. But when you went back and just read those names, my gosh. I mean, that is imagine if Trey Smith had just said, I'm going to Alabama. I mean, that is, at least to this point, and granted, Trey Smith as a freshman was really, really good, and I am anxious to see the development that Jeremy Pruitt and this staff are able to show with young players like that. But like that is a developmental class. To quote you, that is a South Carolina class, a Kentucky class, a Missouri class, a Vanderbilt type class where you're having to sell them on five-star heart because the talent is not easily visible. And, you know, I got a tweet while we're sitting here talking about that from LC Panther 41. He said it's player development. And I agree. I think that's a huge part of it. I think that's a really big part of it. I also think that people quickly realized after the 2016 failure, right, which is the class you just read, after the 2016 season, that's when this class came in, like things were going down in a hurry. If you don't think other coaches in the SEC could make an even more educated guess than this show about what left. I mean, we were saying 6-6 and 7-5. Like, that was our kind of guess. I would imagine other coaches and other schools in the SEC and that you recruit against kind of nationally, the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Texas, the USC, I imagine that they were showing recruits, you know, the information resume on Butch Jones and saying, this thing's about to go south in a hurry. You do not want to go there. You will not be developed. And frankly, they're not good enough to even keep this guy in a year or two. That's why you are where you are. You didn't develop guys. You kind of falsely recruited, and you got fired. And now Jeremy Pruitt's coming in and having to clean up what I think is a very, very, very big mess.
We'll come back and get in with these Casey Clawson quotes. It had to do with recruiting, team profile, how players fit together, and it's going to be kind of a big storyline as this season gets set and starts going, is how do the players under Jeremy Pruitt buy in, mesh together, play well or poorly together as we set up 2018 football. It's spring football going on right now at the University of Tennessee. Stick with us. Final segment, hour one, coming right back at you on 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Welcome back into the Mountain View Chevy studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. The drive will be at Mountain View Chevy today, 3-6, downtown Chattanooga, right off I-24. You can swing in and see them if you're down that way. And, of course, mtmviewchevy.com, your Silverado truck champions and home of the low price promise. We're talking Tennessee football. Houston, what did Casey Clawson have to say about team makeup and, you know, his comments on why their team profile was, you know, a certain way to be so successful?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. We always kind of talk about geography in recruiting. Like, that's when people say, oh, Texas is a great job, Alabama's a great job, Georgia's a great job, Florida's a great job, USC's a great job. The reason they say those things is because of the recruiting base in those states. Because Georgia is loaded with talent. Alabama is loaded with talent, and you can get to Georgia, and you can get to Mississippi, and you can get to Florida very easily. Florida, obviously, I mean, the fact that you can have essentially three powerhouse programs at the same time in the state of Florida with a lot of other schools, you know, non-Power 5 having good years all the time too, like UCF just did, you know that the talent base there is crazy. Tennessee is getting there as a state. Like, the in-state talent is improving, I think, every year. I'm pretty sure this year's class and next year's class are really, really good. But because of that, Tennessee, historically, has usually gone out of state for, you know, a couple of big recruits here and there, some years more than others. But when Casey Clawson was recently asked about kind of his time and what he thought was unique, you know, to Tennessee when he was there, he said, if we had 11 starters on offense and 11 starters on defense, I don't know if there were two guys or three guys from the same state. We had guys from Hawaii, guys from California, guys from Vegas, from Texas, from Florida, from Tennessee, from Atlanta, from Alabama, from South Carolina. That's what made our teams unique. We had guys from literally all over the country. It wasn't 98% from one state. I love that he used 98%, which the majority of the schools in the South are. I think Tennessee needs to, and they're doing it as we speak, go across the country and find the best players that, A, want to play on that stage in the SEC week in and week out, and, B, want to compete and play early. I think there's great opportunities for a lot of these guys that are looking at Tennessee, because if they go somewhere else, they'll sit on the bench for 2-3 years. They have a chance to go to Tennessee right now and make an impact and have an opportunity to play right away. That's kind of what I think the coaches are selling. There's no reason why we shouldn't have a top program. Again, this is Casey Clawson speaking. Obviously, the cupboard's definitely not full right now. They have to rebuild it back up. We don't expect miracles right away because it's not going to happen. But in good time, over the next couple of years, build the program back up and get it where it needs to be, where it should be. I mean, first of all, it's nice to hear Casey Clawson with some, you know, positive words of affirmation for his former school. It's kind of been a while since you hear some things from him. A lot of kind of speculatory guesses at his kind of feelings towards Knoxville and towards the University of Tennessee. But he's absolutely right. I don't know how or why, but typically, and this isn't true of football, this is kind of true of the university as a whole. The ability to recruit nationally for Tennessee has always been a really, really big selling point. I know that other schools do recruit nationally, but I think because Tennessee historically has had to, that's one of the reasons that it's kind of, you know, momentum begets momentum type thing, where you get one kid from California because you have to go get a receiver and the only one who's really interested is in California, so you get him. And then a couple years later, that same high school coach has a couple of kids who, you know, maybe want to go out of state or looking for a new experience or something like that, and so you kind of develop a little bit of a pipeline there. Tennessee's been able to do that. I mean, obviously, players like Casey Clawson, Kevin Simon was from De La Salle. I mean, Khalil McKenzie's a little bit different because he was a legacy player, but he was from California. Dante Stallworth was from California. I agree with Casey Clawson that needs to be more of a focus, especially I think now, maybe now, I don't know, say more than ever, but right now there does need to be a big emphasis for Tennessee on recruiting nationally. Biggest recruiting budget, we all know that. They've had the largest recruiting budget in the SEC and in most years the country for a long, long time now. A lot of that has to do with travel, with recruiting. I think when you look at kind of the rise of Georgia right now and what they've been able to do on the recruiting trail, Florida with Dan Mullen is going to sweep well for a couple of years. The new broom always does. What Richt has at Miami is pretty good. And I don't know if Willie Taggart's a great football coach, but I know he's a dynamic recruiter. You've got Lane Kiffin now in FAU. He's going to steal a couple out of Florida every year that would normally go to maybe a Tennessee-type school or certainly a Florida, Miami, or Florida State. I think now it is imperative that Tennessee comb the country looking for those kind of different special players who do, A, want to play right away, because that is the one thing. I mean, I don't think you want to make your living selling that. I think Butch Jones tried. But I do think that early playing time for certain people is a very, very, very big thing. There's a lot of guys who want to go to Alabama. They want to sit for 2 years. They want to develop. They want to go to school. They want to, you know, work out and strengthen their bodies, whatever. There's a lot of guys who just want to play. If I'm Pruitt, I'm focusing on the really good athletes and quality young men who want to play, and I don't care where they are. I think Casey Clawson's absolutely right.
I used to look at Tennessee's roster. It was a few years ago. It might have been Derek Dooley, Lane Kiffin-ish years. But I know during the Philip Fulmer era that this was true a lot of seasons. If you look at the Florida Gators football roster without knowing what team it is, you know it's a team from the state of Florida. If you look at some of those other teams in the next tier down that we talked about earlier, if you look at an Arkansas roster, a Mississippi State roster, you can tell what state those teams are in. During the Philip Fulmer era and even some after, you could look at Tennessee's roster and not be completely sure what state the team was from. Mm-hmm. Because you'd have as many guys from Georgia or more than from Tennessee. And then you'd have guys from all over the country, especially when Fulmer had it rolling, you know, bringing in guys from all – it seemed like he had a handful of guys from all the southern states, a lot from Georgia, obviously a good bit from Tennessee, but it didn't dominate the list. And then you had a sprinkling of guys, you know, a handful from California, some from Ohio, and then, you know, one guy from lots of other places, just wherever they found.
I mean, that's when we were good. Like, if I say out loud, hey, when's the last time Tennessee football was really good? You think 90s and you think early 2000s, right?
Yep.
Go look at those rosters. especially that 2001 roster. Go look at that roster. Go look at where all those guys were from.
I feel like at Tennessee, you almost have to spin it as a recruiter as this is the place you come play in the that you can come play in the SEC even when you don't have a home state tied to the SEC. Like, come play in the SEC at Tennessee even though you're from, you know, Nebraska because or Ohio or Iowa because our city, our place, this is special. It's different. It's better than Starkville. It's even different than Tuscaloosa and these other kind of places in the conference. And that's something special that's only here in Knoxville.